Yo, what in the fuck is going on? I'm dressed like one of my ancestors or a current uncle. What the fuck, guys? How's everybody doing? Chime in. Who the fuck here? To be honest, I don't even have fucking shit planned. My camera angle is all fucked up because I had to figure shit out last minute. I don't know what the fuck's going on with me. That's basically what this is going to be about. Because I need assistance, or I need to move to Yemen and get like five wives to get shit done. Because this shit ain't going to cut it.
Public Yemeni number one.
All right, what's up, everybody? This podcast is brought to you by nobody. Holy fucking shit, man. What's cracking? What's cracking, Bolty? Bolty in the heezy for sheezy. Good to see you, brother. Man, dude, I'm not even going to lie. Like, right now, I am stressed the fuck out. I have never been so fuck unorganized, man. I wish I had, like, more shit planned for you guys, you know? But fuck, man. I'm, like, burning the candle at both ends right now. I've never been like this. Usually I'm like on the ball, you know? And like right now, these days, holy shit. It just seems like I got a lot on my plate and I'm having a hard time fucking cracking the whip properly, you know? I wonder if it's because I need to start working out again. I mean, I am working out, but I'm working out at home and I'm not fucking busting my ass in the gym like I used to. Or maybe I need to go on like really long fucking runs or some shit. You know, or maybe I need to get into a knife fight. Or maybe I need to join the Marines again. Fuck it. Maybe I need to just go overseas and become a mercenary. Come back with a few kills under my belt. Feel accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Come back and tell jokes again. I don't fucking know. But it's crazy, man. Like right now in this room that I'm in, which I'm at my mom's house in Dearborn, Michigan, it's fucking bro. It looks, it's. I got to clean up after this. This is unacceptable, or as we would say in the Marines, unsat. And you probably are wondering why I'm fucking dressed like this. Maybe I should, I should probably address why I'm dressed this way. This is what I'm saying, man. I haven't had a time, honestly, to really sit down for a second, you know? Been fucking running around. I had an audition. Had a audition for something I can't talk about. And nowadays, after the pandemic, we got to do the auditions in front of a camera. You know what I mean? So, like, you self-tape and then you submit it. So, the plus side to that is that there's no driving to an audition and whatever and playing that whole fucking game of finding out where the audition building is and walking in and then going, signing in, telling them that you're here and seeing all these awkward fucking actors kissing ass to everything, including the air molecules. It's just so fucking like great that I don't have to play that game. The only plus side is that every once in a while you get to hit on a hot actress chick. But then once you start talking to actress chicks, dude, it's just like, oh my God, I don't even want to fuck you anymore. Where was I? So, audition. So I did this audition and, you know, it was like one of those things where I got the audition. Like everything in my life right now has been like one thing. I think I'm done. And then things keep mounting up and then I have even more shit that I got to do. So like I come here to Michigan, headline Mark Ridley's. Okay. About to do five shows at Mark Ridley's. Turns out Ron White comes into town, bumps me, and ends up doing four shows, but added a show. So the plus side was I'm going to get paid for an extra show that week. Negative is I don't get to headline the entire weekend. Big plus is, though, I get to hang out and meet Ron White. Got to hear Ron White and even got him recorded saying my name on stage, telling me I'm funny to the audience. You know, I had a lot of plus, but it still was a stressful weekend because I was dying to headline at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, which was the first comedy club I ever saw comedy in as a kid. And it was an important weekend, kind of a stressful weekend. I realize how stressful it is because now it's not just me up there telling jokes as an opener. It's about me selling tickets. It's about me showing that, you know, I can entertain a room full of people who don't know who I am. So there was that stress. And then on top of all that, you know, I had to do this podcast. This podcast, you know, took some time. That's why this last few podcasts I've been scrambling to fucking make shit happen. And then they just yesterday I was doing writing with Mike Pattaya. If you guys saw the podcast yesterday, before we did the podcast, he came in early in the morning. We sat down and started the first day of writing this screenplay that we're trying to write together. We spent about 3 hours doing that shit. Then I realized, holy shit, I got to set up for the podcast. That takes time. Then as I go to set up for the podcast, I realize, fuck, I got to get this guy food. Then I order the food. Then as soon as I order the food, we had problems with the camera. I'm like, oh, fucking shit. Downloaded an app on my iPhone. Tried to do it with the iPhone. Find out the iPhone couldn't do it because both had the same iCloud account. So I couldn't run two iPhones at the same time. And then before you know it, I finally figured out a way to get the other camera to work. I get that set up. I go to grab the food. I bring the food over here. I divvy up the food for me and Mike to eat last minute, 10 minutes before the show starts. As I'm trying to enjoy my food, my agent calls me. Got a very important audition for you. Surprise, surprise, the deadline is in a few hours. That's just how shit is. So while I'm getting ready to like start the podcast, I'm like listening to my agent on the phone instruct me the shit that I need to do while I'm trying to eat food. Then we start the podcast, and we did a 2-hour podcast with Mike Pattaya eating the whole time. I gave him the food 10 to 15 minutes before. He could have scarfed it down, but no, he wanted to graze like a deer. He wanted to sit there and graze like a deer. It's hilarious. So now I'm going to go over the podcast. And like I said, it's just going to sound like we got like a eating pussy soundtrack in the fucking background of Mike Pattaya. So yeah, man, this whole week, these last 2 weeks have been an exercise in me needing to fucking figure some shit out, man. You know, I don't know if you guys know who Tim Ferriss is. Tim Ferriss is a guy who wrote the book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And it's all about being efficient so that you don't have to work as many hours a day. And, you know, that book kind of like inspired me. Oh, no, not to mention during all that fucking shit, I got an eviction on one of my rental properties. Got another one that doesn't want to get out. Bro, if I could just clone myself, my God, bro. You know, if I could clone myself, I'd get so much done. You know? Hey, go on a date with this annoying girl. See what she's like. Well, I go do Photoshop and shit. But yeah, so back to the 4-hour work week. This motherfucker wrote a damn book that really, really put into perspective how you can like do more and free up time so that you don't have to work so much. And you know, I've been putting that stuff in place, and like even in that book it said like every so often you have to take a step back and put some more systems in place. So that's what it looks like I need to do. I think that I started this podcast so freaking quick, didn't even like think about didn't even have time to make the templates that I need to make for this thing and the work order, you know, like, you know, you you record this episode, you put this episode up, and then you got to make the Photoshop, and then step three, you got to do the fucking this, that. I'm not doing that. That's why if you look at the audio part of this thing, I'm barely even fucking uploading the audio shit, man. I got a whole shitload of audio I need to upload. But motherfuckers, man, if there's a... Mike is still eating pickles. I think you're right. I think Mike is eating them pickles right fucking now. He's still chewing them, bro. He's like a chipmunk, you know? You know how chipmunks, they like, they can save food in their pouches? I think that's what the fuck was going on during the podcast. I was being very attentive to listen to what he was talking about, man. But then it's like so many times, it's just like, cuz, you're a stand-up comedian. You know what the microphone picks up. If you're going to be fucking listening to me, but then you're going to want to fucking, like, you know, eat pickled radishes and munch them like a cow. Take the microphone away from your face. Half beaver. Yeah, let's do lunch and graze and some pickles. Nah, I'm straight, cuz. What the fuck is wrong with you, Mike? I already explained what the fuck is wrong with me. That's that I'm fucking, I don't have any systems in place, you know? I'm not sitting here doing, you know, taking care of the fucking shit I need to take care of. But the thing is, that's all it's all about, man. It's all about putting systems in place, you know, having steps and things that you have to execute when you do what you do. So, for example, like with this podcast, like with other things that I have templates and I have, you know, execution orders on how to do things and when to do things. But then after a while, you know, some of those things fucking fall apart or you take on new things like this podcast. So now I got to sit down and I got to come up with a step-by-step plan of action about what I need to do with this podcast, from recording to putting it on Instagram to cutting it up and whatever. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to end up hiring somebody and just, you know, pass on the buck. Do you guys know what a virtual assistant is? Anybody? Because if you do know what a virtual assistant, and anybody who's listening to this uses a virtual assistant, please let me know, man. Because I tell you what, I want to learn how to use a virtual assistant better. You know, if there's any fucking videos, tutorials, anything. Because like right now, I just got me a virtual assistant. She's an assistant in the Philippines, really cheap. Right now, I just have her doing like... Every month I get statements from my property manager, and then instead of me inputting the data and looking at the report, I give it to her. She inputs the data into the app for me and then also gives me a very good concise rundown of what the fuck is going on, so I can just look at it and be like real quick, make a decision. But man, I'm thinking about like seeing about using these virtual assistants for everything, bro. Like maybe like bringing them into take care of like editing, if they can like edit some of my podcast videos or at least upload the audio or some shit, so I could sit back and just play with my nipples, man. You know, does anybody got any questions, anybody want to talk about? Because to be absolutely honest, like right the fuck now, I am unprepared for this motherfucking podcast. I was at an open mic yesterday, bombed. I just did crowd work. I mean, I didn't bomb. I did get a big laugh. But, you know, overall, it is an open mic and you try new shit. But, man, I haven't been paying attention to the news. I'm looking at the news right now and I'm looking at Kamala's face. I always get, like, heart palpitations, like, wondering if I'm saying her name right. Is it Kamala? Is it Kamala? Everyone's on edge about being called out. Even after the podcast with Mike Pattaya, man, this motherfucker. And I love Mike, but when I say motherfucker, I'm saying it in terms of endearment. I love this guy to death. But, you know, when it comes to Mike, I start to realize that, like, even after our podcast, this motherfucker came out of nowhere and was like, hey, man, do you think we said anything offensive? Do you think anything was offensive? You know, I'm kind of worried about doing live tapings because we might have said something stupid. And I was just like, no, I don't think we said anything offensive. I mean, the thing is, man, that's I just want to get back. I hope we get back to where we could just say anything and people had the ability to tell whether you're being serious or not, right? That's what I want to go back to. I want to go back to that time where someone would say something racist just to get a laugh. And everyone in the room, including people of that race, didn't get offended because they were just like, come on. They don't mean that shit. And I'm smart enough to know they don't mean that shit. Now it's like, I'm smart enough to know they don't mean that shit. But man, I need a fucking Facebook post with a lot of likes. So I'm just going to say, fuck that motherfucker. You know? What the fuck is auto, boss? I don't understand what you guys are doing in the chat. But fuck, what the fuck was I just talking about, man? Before I went on my rant about that. Oh, yeah, I was doing a show at the 313 Comedy. And all of a sudden, I got off stage and this white old guy who was really enjoying the show walked up to me and he said, that was really great, man, but it really made me feel uncomfortable. And I was like, what do you mean it made you feel uncomfortable? And the way he explained it was just, I don't know, I couldn't fully understand exactly his point because I kept probing. But then all of a sudden he was like, nah, man, you know, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. It's like, you're so right. He said, me being a white guy, I just feel uncomfortable saying stuff that you're saying. And I feel uncomfortable being in a room laughing at the things that you're saying. And I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? What do you mean I'm soft, Robbie? Fuck you. Otto, you want to hear me do jokes? Fuck you, pay me. How about that? For real. Just come to one of my shows, man. I was at Mark Ridley's all this weekend. Last weekend. And this weekend, I will be at Greenwood, Indiana in Gutty's Comedy Club. You know, they're probably going to lynch me, but whatever. It's Indiana. No, they're probably really nice people. But yeah, man, I fucking, like, for real. Like, I think we should have a holiday where we can, like, let white people say the most racist shit. Like, we give them one day. Or, like, we nominate, like, 10 white people. And on August 16th, we let them just 10 people say racist shit. 10 white people. And then we throw tomatoes at them. Even at the open mic with EJ Watson, man, there was this guy who was sitting in the audience, and EJ Watson has this joke where he talks about ways to trick white people into saying the N-word. And that's the setup. The setup was, I like to trick white people into saying the N-word. And some white guy in the audience just, boom, send the N-word right to his face. That shit fucking pissed me off, man. And then when I saw him, the white guy, you could tell he was, one, really drunk. And two, he wasn't trying to be mean. And remember, I talked to EJ later. I was like, EJ, do you think that guy really was trying to use the N-word to hurt you? Or do you think he was trying to use it to kind of be like you or to be cool with you? And he was like, oh, it seems like, you know, he was just trying to be cool with me. And I agree. So to me, it's just like, what is worse? I mean, not what is worse. It's like, so like Lulu Jovovich, who was like on the second episode on this podcast, she, on her podcast, was talking about a term that talks about people who want to use certain language to be like people and then use the same language. Other people will use the same language to hate on people. Linguistic accommodation is what she said it was. Linguistic accommodation. And I was like, really? That really tripped me out, because she said on her podcast that she got invited to do a show with Pink Fox. And I'm pretty sure you saw Pink Fox on my podcast. She's the a black trans woman. And Lulu said on her podcast she was out on that show, and the majority of the people were black. And then after the show, she was hanging out with them and having such a good time. And she noticed that, you know, they were all affectionately using the word, the N-word, towards each other, like black people do, right? And she said, and she was being very honest in her podcast, she was like, I don't know why, but I really wanted to use it. I wanted to use it like they used it. And then she brought up linguistic accommodation and how there's also linguistic divergence, whereas the opposite of that. So like someone would use the N-word to be like, you know, I'm going to hurt this black person. I'm going to say this so that this black person feels like shit. And then there'd be somebody who's not black who would want to use that word because, man, it makes me feel like I'm kind of like them, you know, like we're both kind of the same shit. Like I'm one of you now. Right. Then there's also this other term where like people would talk to each other and they say that typically if you start liking someone, usually what ends up happening is they like talking to you and they will start talking like you, you know? So I see that shit. I see that shit all the time. And seeing it in that club, though, even though I knew that that white guy was drunk and he was just throwing around the N-word like it was whatever, even after EJ was trying to make a joke about it and he just said it to EJ, in the end, it was like that guy wasn't trying to hurt EJ. He was so drunk that he wanted to be friends with EJ. But man, it still fucking pissed me off. Dude, like I was standing right next to him, man, and I was like, fuck. If this was a Roadhouse movie, dude, I would just take a crowbar to his fucking eye socket. That shit made me so mad. And then I had to get up on stage after that shit and fucking bomb. Because I was just so pissed, man. So pissed. So, yeah, apparently Robbie thinks I'm soft as a duck. I have no idea who's talking about what. There's always that 10% everywhere. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Damn. Robbie says I'm soft as a duck. How dare you? I mean, if that duck was a hard, muscular duck, you know, like a ripped, handsome, bearded duck, right? Right? Like hard as fuck, because it works out. But then when you pet its feathers, it's soft. Sure. I'm a hard-ass buff, manicured duck. Sure. Meet me outside, bro. Catch me outside. See what's popping. But yeah, I gotta try to figure out what is cracking. Never had a podcast like this, and I didn't have fucking shit to bring to you guys. You know, but I said I'd be here and I'm fucking here, bro. I'm just counting the days of when Biden's going to croak and what's going to happen. Like, apparently more shit just keeps coming up where it's like, dude, this guy's losing his fucking marbles. Shout out to my Muslim friend in Dearborn that got me this get up for the audition that I had today. You know, made me look like an authentic Yemeni. I appreciate it. I would say her name, but I can't because if I say her name, she gonna get mad because now her family knows that she knows me and that she knows some guy and that she helped this guy out. It's so messed up. I was hanging out with her the other day just talking, and it was just, you know, I was like, holy shit, man. The more I talk to, like, Yemeni women that grew up in Dearborn, it's like, yo, man, you girls couldn't do shit, man. For real. You guys can't do fucking shit. Like, talking to her, it's, like, interesting, right? It's like she has to play a double life like a lot of these Middle Eastern girls that I grew up with in Dearborn, man. You know, they live double lives. They have to go out of their way and like lie to people just to do simple shit. Be like, hey, I'm going to help one of my friends who happens to be a guy for his commercial. Like I even told her, so I was like, you know what? I'll just meet you in front of your parents' home. You know, because she lives on her own. But then, the stuff was at her parents' house. She's like, you know. And then I was like, yeah, I'll meet you over there. And she was like, nah, my parents aren't that cool. It'd be better if I just take it to you. I was like, oh, all right. I forgot about that. I left Dearborn so fucking long ago, I completely forgot about jumpers. You guys know what jumpers are? In Dearborn, a jumper is a girl that comes from a very, very, very strict Muslim family. And in order for her to have any type of love life or dating life, she's got to wait till the middle of the night. And then she jumps out her window to meet her beau. I forgot about that. To me, it was just really, it's crazy how I could just be like, yo, girl, I'm going to meet you at your parents' house so I can get all these materials. And then I'm going to bounce. It's like, nah, don't show up in front of my parents' house, because if you do, they'll call me a whore. And I'm not even over-exaggerating either, because like I talked to some of these girls and they'd be saying that shit. They'd be like, yeah. Even growing up in America, man, like to this day, like some of them are in their 30s and they go home and their mom still cusses them out, like legit cusses them out for not being married, for wearing too tight clothes. Maybe they decided they didn't want to wear the hijab anymore. Mike is funny. He didn't say this on the podcast yesterday, but we was talking, but he was like how when he grew up, they used to call the hijabi girls that would like show off their like boobs and stuff, they call them hojabis. I'm gonna get assassinated for that. I shouldn't have fucking said that. But yeah, to me, it just blows me the fuck away, man. How is it? Like, to me, I don't know. I can't wait till the day that we let our women just be who the fuck they want. You know, and stop criticizing them, and stop making them feel anxiety. You know, one of the reasons why I haven't dated a lot of Arab girls, especially growing up in Dearborn, was because I knew that Arab women are trained to lie. They're forced to lie. A lot of them come from this like really strict families, especially Yemeni families, man, where they raise the bar above like what a good woman is. And it's like so high and so hard to achieve that the women feel inadequate. Like they can never reach this level of goodness that the family demands on them, because for some reason in our culture, the entire family's respect and name weighs on her hymen. Like, apparently there were like really, really old traditions that I think are still going on today. I got to do my research, because my Kurdish friend a long time ago showed me a video of this where they married off this girl. Okay. And then right after the wedding, the tradition is the husband takes the new wife into his bedroom and he has sex with her. And then he has to take a rag and put it down by her vagina, and there better be blood. And then if there's blood, the father of the daughter will take the towel that has, or the rag that has the blood, and then walk outside to everyone in the neighborhood and be like, look, she wasn't a whore after all. What the fuck? Like, I understand, okay, fine, traditions and shit, but the more like women I talk to that have to go through this shit, it really pisses me the fuck off. You know? And it's sad. It's sad. It blows me the fuck away. It blows me away. When I talk to these women and all of their stories sound the same. You know? No, Otto, I'm not talking 1800s, buddy. This happened last night, cuz. No, I think that stuff still happens, buddy. I will have to do further research, but rag or no rag, there is this expectation, you know, especially with Yemenis, man. The woman has to be pure. She had to, like, never have had sex before, you know? And I don't know, man. To me, that shit just blows me the fuck away. It does. It does. Especially the more, like I said, the more I talk to these girls, I'm just like, holy fucking shit. And it's probably why when I grew up, I was mainly dating white girls, man. Do you know the fucking stress it was back in like 1980s, 90s, trying to hook up or meet an Arab girl? Like right now in Dearborn, it might be a little bit more lax, bro. But back in the day, holy fucking shit. You had to, like, meet this Arab girl under the stairs of, like, a really, like, unused stairwell at Fortson High School. And then, you know, at any moment, her fucking brothers, all eight of them, could be, like, jumping out of a fucking bush to fucking beat the shit out of you. It's hard to keep a boner through that. It's hard, you know? It's a lot of stress. Like, oh, man, I really want to have sex with you, but I also don't want to get jumped by your fucking entire family, you know? So, yeah, it was pretty fucking stressful. It was, and then I ended up, like, dating more white girls because, like, back in, like, the 90s, man, for some reason, there was a time where a lot of girls from the surrounding cities, like, way out, like, in Sterling Heights or, like, you know, Gross Point, fucking Melvindale, Allen Park, they would all come to Dearborn and they would cruise the main strip of Warren hoping to get hit on by a roughneck Arab kid, you know? And those were the fucking days. It was just really easy. We didn't have to go too far. I literally went down two blocks and then I was on Warren Avenue and I had the chance to mack on some white chick. And then the white girls were just like, you know, easy. And when I say easy, I don't mean like, oh, they're whores. What I mean is like easy to deal with. Be like, yo, what's popping? We should hang out sometime. And then you go hang out with her and then you're smoking weed with her and her brother. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? That shit wouldn't happen in my household. If my sister brought home some guy to smoke weed with me, we're fighting. We are fighting. But then I hang out with like these white girls and, you know, their families are just very relaxed. And it's just like, all right, you know what? I'm down with this. You know, and then I would date Arab girls and it would always be like, oh, hey, can we not meet in Dearborn? Oh, yeah. You don't want to meet in Dearborn? There's a lot of Arabs. Yeah. Where do you want to meet? The moon. Can we meet in the moon? Let's meet on the moon. Can you meet on the moon? Can you take me to the moon? I'll feel really safe on the moon. It's like, nah, I'm straight. I'm straight with going to the moon. It's really hard to hold your breath for that long for a blowjob. And I don't think there's a McDonald's up there. Take you to McDonald's afterwards and get you a fish sandwich because you're Muslim. You know what I mean? That used to be the thing, though. There's one guy that... One of my friends I knew was hooking up with a hijabi, a girl that wore the scarf. And it was so weird because she was like so religious, but she still wanted to hook up. And her one stipulation was while they're having sex, she won't take her scarf off. Everything else, no problem. But can't take the scarf off during sex. Okay. And then afterwards, he took her to McDonald's, and then she couldn't have a hamburger because it's not halal, and then she couldn't have, you know, anything else because it wasn't halal, but she could have fish. So then he would get her a fish sandwich. So then he would, like, meet her. She would jump out her fucking window to meet him. Then they would bang it up. Nope, you can't see my hair. And then take me to McDonald's, and the only thing I can eat on that is fish sandwich and French fries. Oh, shit. I remember when I was in Texas, man, I used to have to do this cooking show. I was doing a cooking show with the Fung brothers. If you ever follow the Fung brothers, man, they're the Chinese brothers. They're comedians and they're foodies, you know, and they've blown the fuck up. But way back in the day, like 8-9 years ago, we were doing a couple of videos, and then we got hired by YouTube to fly out to Texas to do a cooking show. So we went out there, and I remember I was in Fort Worth, Texas, and out of nowhere, this beautiful Texas girl with just the fucking most thickest Texas accent where you're like, man, I know you're racist. But that's okay because my dick is racist too. So, and she was just like so cute. And then one of the guys that was running the Fort Worth stables was there. And in my Arab mind, I'm like, man, I can't like fuck with these Texas girls, bro. These motherfucking shit-kicking cowboys will beat the fuck out of me. Because that's the mindset I have from growing up in Dearborn. You know what I mean? When it comes to Arabs and how we look at our women, right? The fuck you doing, white boy? Hey, get out of here. And that's what I thought. And I remember he noticed that I was looking at her, and he was like, hi, man, you going to talk to that girl? Looks like she was hitting on you. And I was like, oh, man, you think it's okay? He's like, oh, hell yeah. Hey, man, she a fun girl. And I was like, fun girl? He's like, oh, yeah, man, she a fun girl. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, what do you mean? He's like, well, back up north, where y'all from, you call them whores. Not down here in Texas, man. That's just a fun girl. That's where Arabs need to go to. That's what I think. I think Arabs need to start getting to a point where we look at a girl who likes to get dick, and we don't talk her down. We just go, that is a fun girl. She is very, very, she likes good time, you know. She no like cooking, you know. She don't want to be wife, you know. She want to your dick. And this not whore. She is fun girl. All right, guys. Till next time.
Public Yemeni number one.